it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're going to get hard if you play us.
You're going to get hard.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Luke Morrow is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos behind the glass. And my man B. Scott, B. Skeezy, is in the building as he is every Wednesday, every hump day at 4:40. It is time for that Texans report with B. Skeezy. Now, we're going to throw a little Rockets in here because last night turned me on a bit. But we will start with them Texans, B. Scott.
Let's do it.
We've had a long bye week. We've talked about six ways to Sunday, all the self-evaluation, self-scouting that an NFL team does on the bye week. And we're here. It's Wednesday of game week. The Texans got a primetime game on Monday night. I'm curious just your overall. You cover this team closely. I'm just curious your overall 30,000-foot view of this Texans-Seattle game as we get a little bit closer here.
So I think it's a matchup problem, right? There are a couple of matchup problems in all of the shows. I feel like have gone over it, but it bears repeating until we get there, right? Like let's start with Seattle's interior defensive line. Let's start with Byron Murphy, for one, right, who had a disappointing rookie year but has come alive, let's just say, in his second season. At least four sacks already was the catalyst for what they were able to do against Jacksonville over the weekend. And when we talk about strength versus weakness, this is the strength of their defense up front with Byron Murphy and what they do up front versus, let's say, a Texans interior offensive line that has played better but still is trying to prove itself, at least from where I sit. And this would be a hell of an opportunity to do that, to go up and perform against an interior front like what Seattle presents to you. And I'm just talking about pass rush there, not to mention the fact that this is the second-ranked rush defense, right? And so the Texans want to run the ball, and obviously they got C.J. Stroud, and they're trying to do their thing with these weapons. Both things are going to be an issue, I think, for the Texans in this game. So how they protect on the interior with a guy like Byron Murphy getting to the quarterback, and are they going to be able to establish the run in any kind of way against one of the better run defenses in all of football? And then on the other side, when we're talking about the defense, which is the marquee of this football team, this Texans football team, big playability, right? The Texans got a lot of that bend but don't break in them, right? And we've seen that throughout the years. Hey, look, the Seattle Seahawks, especially with Jackson Smith and Jigba, they will break you with one play. Like they literally did it against Jacksonville, where they got that one play, 61-yard drive to Jackson Smith and Jigba to kind of put them over the top. So how does the defense manage the big playability with Sam Darnold and Jackson Smith and Jigba? And of course, Cooper Kupp's over there as well. And then how does the Texans' interior offensive line stack up against their interior defensive line?
Speaking of that interior offensive line, I mean, this is the big test Monday night because, of course, they beat two bad teams, and you have the bye week. We get to see what's for real, maybe what wasn't for real the last couple weeks in Monday's game. So this might be a possible question to answer, but just like, where is your confidence level in this offensive line right now to be able to go up against Seattle based off of what we saw in those two victories, but knowing, of course, this is a much better pass rush Monday night in Seattle?
The last part is the key. Yeah. It's what makes it such a hard question to answer, because if I'm just basing it on what I've seen in the last couple of games, I don't know how you can't feel good about what you've seen in the last couple of games. But it also needs the context of who those opponents were versus who the opponents are or who the opponent is in this game. And that's why I call it a true test. It's hard to genuinely answer the question or to answer it with confidence, knowing that this is the type of game that will sway you one way or the other. Based on how they play in this game will determine what the right answer to that question is. Do I feel good about it? Should I feel good about it or should I not?
Yeah, we just got through talking about what I think is a good kind of off the field storyline, if you will. I don't know if you heard it or not, but the fact that Clint Kubiak is doing so well in Seattle, he was available literally all 3 years that DeMeco Ryans has been the head coach for the Houston Texans. Clint Kubiak was available. He moved teams every single year that DeMeco Ryans was looking for an offensive coordinator. And look, hindsight's 20/20. I think it makes for a good conversation, especially right now. You got Nick Caley, who is the second offensive coordinator that they landed on, and Clint Kubiak being available every single time. One guy seems to have hit the ground running in Seattle, and Nick Caley is that wait and see, let the offense, let the offense come, give these guys time. We'll see what happens there, but just Clint Kubiak, dialing on the ones and twos offensively for Seattle.
Yeah, I think it's a great point to make. Like, aside from the hindsight is 20/20 aspect of it, like, should Clint Kubiak be here? Not just because he's a popular name who's been available, but also the obvious and clear ties to the regime, if you will, to DeMeco Ryans. Obviously, he played for his father, for Gary Kubiak. And, of course, Clint is just flat out from here, right? Just the Kubiaks are of Houston. So there's that clear and obvious connection. But past that, once you get to the game, I think it is worth noting when I talk about this big play ability. And we see it, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, as we talked about, Sam Darnold there in his first year. It's worth noting how dudes be butt naked wide open in this scheme. Like, Sam Darnold has made some plays. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the type that can just go up there and get it, even if he's covered. He's that type of player. Like, just throw it up there in the vicinity, chuck it up there, dog, type of stuff, what Randy Moss used to say. And he'll just go get it. But also, credit to Clint Kubiak and credit to this offense, guys just be wide open, right? And I think DeMeco Ryans has talked about this a little bit in his press availabilities leading up to now. It's just like they've done a really good job, Clint Kubiak specifically, have done a really good job of scheming these guys up, using the play action to set up the passing game, these big plays that we're talking about, marrying up the concepts, how it all looks the same. And that's a kind of a hallmark of a Kubiak-Shanahan type of system, right? The run and the pass look the same. One thing that I think we were talking about earlier in the week was just how committed they are to the run game. They don't actually run it very well. You know, they're not particularly efficient yards per carry, total yards, first downs, whatever stats you like. They're not particularly good at it. The one stat that they're pretty consistent in is attempts. They are committed to it. They're going to do it whether it's working or not, because they know that that's setting up, they're going to make up for it on the back end with some big play, whether that's to Jackson Smith and Jigba or Cooper Kupp, whoever it is. Them committing to the run game is setting up everything else.
Yeah, it seems like they, you know, what you have is whether you're running it well or not is irrelevant. It's all about the threat, right? I mean, it's
exactly it.
And it's you always have an advantage offensively, right? If they stay back and play coverage, and you should be able to get a hat on a hat and run it. If they come up and try to stop the run, then you should have one-on-one coverage or some kind of zone that's got voids everywhere. There, if you're dictating offensively, you have the upper hand typically. And instead of reacting to what a defense is doing, and it seems like they're going up to the line and they are going to commit to the run, even though it hasn't been as fruitful, because they know if you adjust, then all of a sudden we're going to pick you apart over the top. And they've got several. You know, the interesting thing is you look at Cooper Kupp and Smith and Jigba, and I don't think either one of them are true slots, right? But both of them have a slot mentality in a sense of if you had to say what they were, if you had, I mean, gun to head heart, what are these guys? Well, you'd put them close to the quarterback, you'd put them in a slot, but they can do legitimately all things. But they see the game through that quarterback's eyes, that quarterback lens, which makes them dangerous, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and they're lining up in the slot a lot of times. I don't mean that the route is going to be over the middle. Like, they'll run all kind of routes from all kind of different spots on the field.
Yeah.
So you got to account for that. And look, this is going to be a tremendous challenge. One of the sort of football terms that's going to be real common for that defense, I bet you they're preaching it right now as we speak, is eye discipline. You know, it's one of the important parts of, like, whatever the C.J. Gardner-Johnson situation was, is water under the bridge now. But this is especially the type of team where you can't have guys going rogue and doing their own thing and trying to make plays outside of the scheme and outside of the assignment. You got to be where you're supposed to be, and your eyes got to be disciplined in this, because they will fool you with that play action game, and they got guys that can find a soft spot in the zone and beat and are man beaters on top of it.
Hey, watch me a little Rockets preseason basketball. I'll be honest with you, they popped my NBA preseason cherry.
Yes, I heard that. I heard that Reed Shepherd had you worried.
Well, Reed, I mean, I just don't see it, B. Scott. I just don't. You know what I mean? It's like that, you know, wet behind the ears, you know, timid, just not ready. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not ever going to be ready. I just don't see all of a sudden like this switch flipping of like, yeah, this dude can help us. Now, a spot up shooter in the corner, stand your ass over there, and if we kick it to you, shoot it. I can see that happening.
Yeah, so he is incredibly skilled. I cannot quell your concerns right now and say that what you are talking about is invalid. Like, it is the question with the Rockets is, what can Reed Shepherd provide for you? Can he play true to what his ability is? Because he's an incredibly skilled dude, but does he have the confidence? Is his body ready? To me, it looked like it a little bit more so when we first started the training camp and preseason. Last night, he was a little timid. But we've seen Reed Shepherd ball before in some spots, but we've seen it. So they're going to require a lot of him. And so I don't feel like they got an option for him to not be ready. It's time for him to get his ass ready.
Yeah.